You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the FDA just approved new drug trials for treating post-traumatic stress disorder with the drug ecstasy. We'll find out more. First, in this last week of the year, we're checking in with political leaders to see what stood out for them in 2016 and what their priorities are as we move into 2017 with a new president and the start of a new state legislative session. Robin Voss is the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker. We spoke with him last week. Speaker Voss, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for doing it.
Well, let's start with the big job next year, the state budget. Big picture overview, what are your priorities there?
Well, we're actually entering into my favorite part of the two-year cycle. Campaigns are behind us, and now we get to look at the good things we're able to do for the people of Wisconsin, not just inside the state budget, but really all during our legislative session. To me, we really have three priorities that I want to focus on over the course of the legislative cycle. And that's number one, making sure that we continue to keep investing in our schools. Of course, I've been a big supporter of school choice, but everyone knows that the vast majority of students go to public schools, and that's why we've continued to invest more and more money in high-performing, really good public schools. So I want to continue to do that. It also means we need to keep putting money into the university system. Unfortunately, over the last couple of cycles with difficult budgets, we've had to not give the university all the funding that it asked for, but hopefully this time, my goal is to give the request that they asked for in a way that allows them to keep doing a great job educating our students. The second thing that I found, it's also incredibly important to have the effort continue to get workers able to be trained and ready to work. We know all around the state, as you drive around, you see help wanted signs in almost every part of the state. So we've got to do not only a better job of educating the workers who are ready and able to go to work, but to also look and see if there are ways we can take people who are perhaps marginalized and bring them into the mainstream by giving them access to worker training. It could be somebody who just got out of jail. It could be somebody who's disabled. It could be somebody who, deals with mental illness or a struggle with addiction. All of those folks really need to be brought into the mainstream so that they have a chance to work and support themselves. And then lastly, my goal is to find a long-term funding mechanism to finally deal with the transportation deficit and the fact that under both Republicans and Democrats, we put way too much funding on the state's credit card that unfortunately we have to pay for. And that's why we need to find a long-term sustainable revenue source to make sure that we're able to get that job done.
I watched that video of you riding around, I think it was in your cousin's ambulance, bouncing around the streets in the Burlington area. I mean, are we at a point with our roads here where it is causing not just damage to patients in the back of ambulances, but to our economy?
I worry that we're getting that point. We're at a tipping point where, look, I think most people agree that you want to have access to a good transportation system just to get workers to the job, but also to get goods to market. So we have a pretty simple plan. It's look for every possible savings we can. And I want to give a shout-out to Governor Walker and Secretary Gottlieb because over the course of the past 6 years, they have identified almost $1 billion in savings inside the DOT. So there's an audit coming out in January. We want to continue to look for other ideas to save, but frankly, I give them credit. I think probably many of them have already been utilized. The second thing we want to look for is to say, are there projects that aren't needed? I live in an area between Milwaukee and Chicago where we want to see the I-94 freeway expanded because we see increasing traffic as one of the most important lanes of commerce in our entire state. But if there are other parts of the state where a project has been proposed for expansion, I don't think we just should go ahead without any questions asked. 85% of all of the money that we spend on roads in this state go toward repair and maintenance. But 15% potentially go toward expansions where perhaps there's a new factory or they see additional traffic. I'm more than happy to take a look at those to see if there are some projects that we can either delay or perhaps cancel. Governor Walker has said he only wants to raise revenues if we have other offsetting revenue reductions, and I'm open to that too. But if we've done all of those things and at the end we still have problems where we have to fix our roads and we want to have a choice of putting it on the state's credit card or actually paying for it, my preference would be tolling, but I think we have to keep all options on the table so that we don't just hand a bigger and bigger bill to our kids for things that we know are important to grow our economy.
All options, including possibly increases in the gas tax or user fees?
It's definitely a possibility. I don't want to rule anything out until we see the size and breadth of what's happening. I mean, we also know that there could be money coming from Washington. I think a lot of that infrastructure spending will be on broadband and on, you know, highways, but also on bridges and waterways. So I don't think it's going to be some huge amount of money, but that could also play a role in helping us transition into what we need to get long-term revenue sources on the table. So once again, I don't think we should take anything out of the discussion until we know the breadth and all the real-world solutions we've got to look at.
I want to switch topics now. Another issue for the new year. We recently talked to Attorney General Schimmel about the juvenile corrections facility in Lincoln Hills. You've talked recently about wanting a comprehensive look at juvenile justice, juvenile incarceration in Wisconsin. What are you hoping to see?
Yeah, so when I was the chair of the Finance Committee back in 2012, I changed the law to allow local counties to keep youthful offenders in a detention facility in their own county longer. Prior to the change, you could only keep them for a month. Now you can keep those kids up to 6 months, and if they're detained more than 6 months, they go to a place like Lincoln Hills. So I certainly would be open to expanding the amount of time that they could be retained inside their home county as a way to try to keep them closer to the school that they attend, perhaps relatives and family members to be supportive as they try to learn the mistakes that they made and not do it again. But I also believe that we need to have that comprehensive look to see, are we doing it right? Are there better models around the country, or are there innovative ones that we could develop which work on the goal, which is to have a child who commits a crime be punished for the crime? But the goal is not just about punishment. It's to make sure that they understand why they shouldn't do it again. And in many ways, we've been pretty successful, but I think we can always learn from others and try to improve on what we've already done.
Talking to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss about some priorities and issues in the new year. I want to talk about the lawsuit against the state's most recent redistricting plan, some other election-related laws. Attorney General Schimmel expects this to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. The question is, the challenge, it's kind of a new one, saying that Democrats were disenfranchised, in effect, by the formula used. Is there a case to be made that maybe, I mean, everybody, if they're given the opportunity to redistrict, tries to find some advantage? Is there a case to be made that Republicans took it too far?
No, it's just a situation where, unfortunately, Rob, it's people who can't win at the ballot box looking for an alternative mechanism. I mean, I see the hand-wringing all around the country saying that Donald Trump didn't win, that actually it was the Russians or it was fake news. I mean, those are all excuses for why a faulty candidate in Hillary Clinton lost the election. And I think the exact same thing can be made here in Wisconsin. There are 99 districts, and of those districts, Republicans have 64. But of the 64 Republican-held districts, 18 districts are made up of 52% or less Republicans. Only one of those districts is held by a Democrat. So I think when we look at the numbers, we have better candidates, a better message, and we have a record of success that people are flocking to. A lot of our members run in districts that Democrats normally win at the top of the ticket. And they win, too, because they are responsive to their district. So I think my friends on the other side of the aisle are so frustrated with our ability to win elections that they're now looking for somebody else to save them from themselves, as opposed to looking at how they conduct themselves, the issues that they run on, and what they're championing as the real reason that people all across Wisconsin are rejecting the ways of Madison and Milwaukee.
Would we be better off with some kind of neutral redistricting system? Democrats had a chance to make that change with the majority. You could change it now. Would it be better to take these conversations off the table by taking it out of partisan hands?
Well, we already did go through a lawsuit, if you remember, back in 2012, and the courts looked and said that the districts were drawn in a way that met all of the constitutional requirements. So that's the most important thing. The job in our state constitution of drawing lines falls solely with the state legislature. So we're following the constitutional directive. They were found constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think the only ones who continue to harp about it are the people who can't win elections because their ideas are out of sync with the public.
You mentioned your friends on the other side of the aisle. You tweeted that you had a productive meeting with some of the Democratic legislative leaders in an effort to have more open and productive debate. What came out of that?
Yeah, we actually negotiated what we call a memorandum of understanding. We did it when I first became speaker, and we've updated it every session since. I think that while many times the only things that the media talk about are areas where we disagree, I think it was 93% of the bills that passed last session had the support of both Republicans and Democrats. So on the vast majority of topics, we work together in a collegial way to try to find that common ground. Sometimes, there's just a difference in philosophy, and that's why, you have elections. But I want to always make sure that my job as Speaker is to not just represent Republicans, it's to represent all 99 members. We each have an equal number of constituents. We each should have an equal chance to make an impact. And that's what hopefully we're continuing to do as we go into the next session.
Reid Ribble leaving Congress, a Republican, he gave kind of a farewell message where he said, we Republicans control the White House and Congress. A similar thing could be said about Wisconsin, of course. He warned against overreach. Do you have worries about that, maybe taking the advantage too far and provoking a midterm backlash?
Well, we haven't done that. I mean, I have heard from my friends on the other side of the aisle, oh, geez, you did too much with doing Act 10. You're going to pay the price in 2012, and we didn't lose a seat. Then we went to 2014. Oh, now's the time. Governor Walker's going to get payback. And we actually gained 3 seats. And I heard it again this cycle. You're going to actually pay the price. You've gone too far, and we picked up another seat in a district that is 43% Republican. So I think our message is working because we are sticking to the middle. We're focusing on educating our kids and making sure our roads are taken care of, that we continue to invest in tax relief for middle-income families. That's what people want us to do, and I'm proud of the fact that's what we've done since we took control.
I want to get back to one of the budget priorities you mentioned before we run out of time. You talked about schools. There's been concern about rural schools in Wisconsin, unique challenges, sometimes declining enrollment, wide area of transportation, having trouble competing to hire teachers. Is that going to be an area of focus in the budget?
It is. So 2 years ago, I actually formed a bipartisan speaker's task force on rural schools where they came up with a set of recommendations. Many of those have already passed, but the one that you just mentioned is the most important issue that I want to look at this next session, and that's how do we fund schools going forward. When our school funding formula was put together almost 50 years ago, it was based on the idea that we would have money behind every student. And now we see, I think it's about two-thirds of the districts where declining enrollment is really hitting them hard because the light bill is the same, the roof repairs are the same, transportation many times is the same. So we've got to look for a different model to be able to go into the future as we see that so many districts don't have increasing students, which means many times they've had either flat or declining budgets. That's a challenge, and I hope that we'll be able to find a long-term solution going forward.
We'll leave it there for now. Speaker Voss, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Have a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
You too. That was Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He joined us last week to talk about the political landscape of 2016 and what his priorities are for a new session of the state legislature. We'll talk to Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling at this time on Wednesday.